Dear listeners, Sai Ram, we now bring you our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The episode of Bhajan Classroom you will be listening now was first aired on January 31st, 2013, as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs from the studios of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us first offer our loving and most prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the one who is the most magnificent and merciful, the most enchanting and forgiving, the most charismatic and caring. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we not only limit ourselves to just adoring your beautiful form and name and relishing the moments of your divine munificence, but also determine to translate this love and this grace into our lives in the form of noble virtues, in the form of sacred actions, and in the form of selfless thoughts and selfless deeds. With this prayer, let us move on, and dear listeners, welcome to yet another episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. And today, we learn a bhajan dedicated to Lord Sai, adoring him as Lord Krishna. It has 5 lines in all, and the lyrics are in the language Hindi. The first line is Nand Ke Dulare, and it flows like this.
Nand Ke Dulare, Yashoda Ke Pyare.
So let's begin now with getting familiar with the lyrics, and then we will move on like always to the tune, the raga, and the meaning of each word of this bhajan, and in the end we will have a short conversation with Mr. Srinivasulu, a most respected and long-standing member of the Prashanti Bhajan group, who is blessed with a lovely voice. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. For now, here are the lyrics to begin with.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare, Govind murare, Dino ke sahare, Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare, Karuna sagar, Giridhar nagar, Murali Manohar, Sai Murare.
So lyrics done, let's move on now to learning to actually sing this bhajan. First, you will hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line slowly without any musical accompaniments. Brother Anirudh will follow him after each line. Please do listen keenly to both of them and sing along when Anirudh follows after Ravi Kumar.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale E Pancham.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
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 Govinda murare, Dino ke sahare.
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 Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
नंद के दुलारे यशोदा के प्यारे
करुणा सागर गिरिधर नागर
करुणा सागर गिरिधर नागर
करुणा सागर गिरिधर नागर
करुणा सागर गिरिधर नागर
मुरली मनोहर साई मुरारे
मुरली मनोहर साई मुरारे
मुरली मनोहर साई मुरारे
मुरली मनोहर साई मुरारे
नंद के दुलारे यशोदा के प्यारे
And now for the connoisseurs of music, let's learn a little more about the composition of this bhajan. And for this, Brother Anirudh is here with me in the studios. Welcome Anirudh to the program.
Thank you, Vishnu.
So tell me Anirudh, in which raga is this bhajan based?
This bhajan belongs to the raga Panthuvarali in the Carnatic
school of
classical
music.
And in the Carnatic music, it is also referred to as Kamavardhani, this raga.
Another name.
Yeah. And in the Hindustani classical music, it is called Purvi, more referred to as Purya Dhanasri.
Okay.
This raga is typically sung in the beginning of the concert. And it has a very bright mood. I'll just show you the glimpse of the raga.
Sure. Also, this element of longing, that pathos element also in this raga.
Yeah. And especially, there is a very famous Carnatic Tyagaraja Kriti in this raga, which brings out that emotion what you are seeing.
Oh, okay, wonderful.
The Kirtana goes like this. Aparama Bhakti Yanto. I'll just sing you one line.
Sure.
Aparama Bhakti Yanto. अपराम भक्ति यंतो गोपरामा अपराम भक्ति यंतो
In fact, it takes me back to the times when Bhagwan himself used to mention about this Kriti, how Tyagaraja used to pray to Lord Rama singing this Kriti. And in fact, Swami himself has sung it so many times during his discourses.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
So why don't you give us a little elaboration on the notes which make this raga, Anirudh?
Yeah, definitely I'll give you. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa. So in the Arohana and Avrohana, we see Sa Re Komal Re, Ga Major Ga, which is Shuddh, Ma, this is Tivrama, which in Carnatic it is called Pratimadhyam, Pa Dha, this Dhaivat is Komal Dhaivat, Dha 1, which is Minor Dha,
Ni Sa,
this Nishadam is Shuddhini.
Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Re Sa.
In fact, as you sing, one bhajan that comes to my mind is Nandishwara.
Yeah.
Nandishwara He Nataraja Nandatmaja Hare Narayana.
Wonderful.
And one more bhajan which comes to my mind is He Vishwanath He Gaurinath He Sainath Bhagavan. But in this bhajan, as you go further,
Dinadayala Dha,
the other dha also comes.
Yeah, so that is one exception. But other lines, it is more or less Panturali Raga.
So we do have many bhajans in this raga.
Yeah, many bhajans, yeah.
And also many Karnataka Kritis.
Kritis, yeah, many. And one of the very popular kritis is Aparama Bhakti Yanto.
Yeah, which you already sang. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Anirudh, for sharing with us about the composition of this beautiful bhajan, Nandaketunari.
Thank you, Bishop.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Coming now to the tala, this bhajan is set to the 8-beat Adi Talam in Karnataka music. In Hindustani music, it is the Kehrwa Tal. So now we have become familiar with the lyrics, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. It's time to move on to another important aspect, the bhava or the feeling with which we should render this bhajan. And to develop this feeling, we need to know the meaning of all the words in the bhajan, at least to some extent. So let's try and do that for this bhajan. We begin with the first line.
Nand ke dulare Yashoda ke pyare,
Nand ke dulare Yashoda ke pyare.
The first word here is Nanda, which refers to Chieftain Nanda, the foster father of Lord Krishna. The second word is ke, meaning of. Third word, dulare, meaning darling. Hence the phrase Nanda ke dulare describes Krishna as the darling son of Nanda. The fourth word in this line is Yashoda, referring to Mother Yashoda, the foster mother of Krishna. The last word is pyare, meaning beloved. Hence the phrase Yashoda ke pyare means Krishna, the beloved son of Mother Yashoda. For those unfamiliar, Krishna was born in a prison in Mathura, which is situated in the present-day North India. He was born to Vasudeva and Devaki, but immediately after his birth, as per divine directions, Vasudeva crossed the river and took the newborn divine child and left him in Gokul Vrindavan in the house of his friend Nanda. At the same time, Nanda's wife Yashoda had given birth to a baby girl, which Vasudeva brought back with him to Mathura. Thus it was that Krishna grew up as a boy under the loving and watchful eyes of foster parents Nanda and Yashoda. Even though Vasudeva and Devaki were the earthly parents of Lord Krishna, the incomparable blessing of nurturing the divine child was conferred to Nanda and Yashoda. In one discourse in 1974, Bhagwan highlighted how well respected Nanda and Yashoda were in their village. Swami said, Nanda was a well-known jamindar or a landowner. The inhabitants of that village had great respect for him. They never disobeyed him. In fact, Yashoda and Nanda were treated by the villagers as if they were their very life breath. People lit up the lights in their homes from Nanda's house in the hope that if they lit their lamps from such a sacred place, they would imbibe the good ideas and noble virtues for which this divine couple, Nanda and Yashoda, were known and adored. So that is the sterling character of this divine couple, and Lord Krishna in this line is hailed as the beloved son of this blessed parents, Nanda and Yashoda. Let's now move on to the second line of this bhajan.
Govinda Murare Dino ke sahare,
Govinda Murare Dino ke sahare.
Here the first word is Govinda, which is an often used name of Lord Krishna. The word Go refers to cows. Hence Govinda literally means the Lord who as a cowherd lovingly tended to the cows in the Dwapara age. The inner meaning, however, as revealed by Baba, is that cow here represents the animal tendencies that lurk within each one of us. Govinda thus refers to God who as the loving master tends to us and subdues our negative qualities, our animal nature. Another deeper meaning of the word Go in Sanskrit is Go denotes Vedas. Hence Govinda also means the Lord who is the abode of the Vedas. The Vedas mean knowledge. So the Lord who is the storehouse of knowledge of all wisdom. That is Govinda. The next word is Murare. Lord Krishna is hailed as Murare because he slayed the demon Mura. But the inner meaning is that Mura in Sanskrit means to cover. And in this context, we are all covered by the ignorance of our true nature. We think of ourselves as the body when we actually are the Atma or the eternal soul. Hence, Mura stands for our ignorance. Lord Krishna destroys our ignorance and enlightens us. He is Murare, the destroyer of Mura, of darkness. The next phrase in this line is Dinon ke Sahare, where Dino means depressed or downtrodden, Ke means off, and Sahare means refuge. Thus, Dinon ke Sahare refers to the Lord as the sole refuge of the downtrodden and the helpless. There is a thrilling incident in the life of Kuppam Radhakrishnaya, recounted in detail in the book Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, written by his daughter, Mrs. Vijayamma. Mr. Radhakrishnaya was once suffering from stomach ache and the pain was very acute. The doctor gave him an injection and he apparently fell asleep. But after a few hours, when his wife woke up during the night, Radhakrishnaya was nowhere to be found. The family members first thought he might have gone to the bathroom, but wondered how he could have managed to walk all by himself since he was very weak and he needed support of another person to move around. When they searched all over the house and did not find him, they panicked and they called out, "Where are you, father? Father, where are you?" And to their amazement, they heard his faint voice. It said, "I am inside the well." After hearing his voice, when they peeped into the well, which was in the courtyard of the house, they found him in waist-deep water. Narrating this, Mrs. Vijayamma writes, "He was standing like Christ with his two arms stretched sideward and his head bent down. There was no foothold at all in that well. On what and how was he standing? This was a mystery. We were simply perplexed. The well was more than 20 feet deep, and as they were wondering how to rescue him, most miraculously a police inspector happened to come by, and when they apprised him of the situation, he went into the house, brought out a chair and tied ropes to the two arms of the chair and now slowly lowered it into the well till the chair rested on a boulder. The inspector and one of the sons of Mr. Radhakrishnaya slid down the ropes, but Mr. Radhakrishnaya was way below them. They were utterly helpless. They were unable to reach him. And then suddenly and most inexplicably, they saw Mr. Radhakrishnaya being thrown up like a ball into the chair. Mrs. Vijayamma narrates this incident and writes, "Father is so hefty that even in normal circumstances, it would be difficult even for 10 people to hold him up and throw him up like that. So his landing in the chair like that is a highly surprising mystery. It was clear that someone from below was flinging him up very forcibly." When the rescue operation was finally over and Mr. Radhakrishnaya himself narrated his experience, he said, "Because the pain was very intense, the pain because of the stomach ache. The pain was so severe, I was thinking to myself, Swami, please let my life be merged in your feet. I cannot endure this pain. Otherwise, I will just give up my life. I will commit suicide. And as I was thinking thus, I do not know how I walked or how I fell into that well. But after falling into the well, the cool touch of the water revived me and I found myself standing in the well. I do not know how all this happened." How could he stand in that deep water? And Radhakrishnaya further says, "I was aware that some support was there under my feet and I was simply standing on that support. I did not know how, I did not know who was there providing me that safety." Later, when the whole family went to Puttaparthi to thank Baba for his infinite mercy and for saving Mr. Radhakrishnaya, what Bhagwan told them on that occasion is most revealing. Swami said, "My shoulders are still paining because all night I was carrying you on my shoulders," Swami told to Mr. Radhakrishnaya. And then Swami went on to describe what exactly happened. He said, "I had been watching over him for 3 days. As soon as he got down from the cot, he opened the door and he started going out. I tried to detain him, shouting, 'Radhakrishnaya, do not do it, don't do it, do not do it.' Without paying heed, he brushed me away and he walked on. Instead of going silently, he walked on, chanting, 'Sai Ram, Sai Ram.' I knew where he was headed to. That is why I went into the well before him and stood waiting. I saw to it that he received no injury when he fell into the well. Yesterday itself, I told all this to Kasturi and Raja Reddy. I asked them to massage my shoulders." This is what Swami revealed when the family came to him after this incident. In fact, a few days before this incident, Swami had told Professor Kasturi, the editor of Sanatan Sarathi, to keep a page of the publication blank, and this incident was now published on that very page. Thus, the all-knowing Lord is indeed the succor of those who are in distress, those who have no hope at all. Hence, in this line, "Govinda Murare, Dinon Ke Sahare," we glorify the Lord as the one who suppresses our negative tendencies and as the one who removes the veil of ignorance. He is indeed the support of those in distress. Let's move on now to the third line of this bhajan.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
Nand ke dulare, Yashoda ke pyare.
This is a repeat of the first line where we describe Krishna as the apple of the eye of his foster parents, Nanda and Mother Yashoda. Let us now move on to the penultimate line of this bhajan.
Karuna Sagara Giridhara Nagara.
Karuna Sagara Giridhara Nagara.
Here Karuna means compassion. The second word Sagara means ocean. Karuna Sagara therefore means the ocean of compassion. The third word is Giridhara, which can be split as Giri meaning mountain or hill and Dhara meaning to hold. This name of Lord Krishna is attributed to his lifting the Govardhana hill on his little finger to offer protection to the inhabitants of Gokul Vrindavan when there was continuous rain on that hamlet. Thus, by means of a marvelous miracle, Krishna not only revealed his divinity to the residents of Vrindavan and to the cowherd friends of Vrindavan, but also consented to the prayer of the devoted mountain. Swami narrated this to bring out how even inanimate things have feelings and how God responds to these feelings and assuages them in his infinite compassion. That is the story behind adoring the Lord as Giridhari or Giridhara. And Nagara means one who is highly cultured, a gentleman among men. So in this line, Karuna Sagara, Giridhara Nagara, we glorify Krishna as the virtuous one who is the infinite reservoir of compassion, the one who held aloft the Govardhana peak to protect the residents of Gokulam, the eternal protector, Lord Krishna. We now move on to the last line of this bhajan.
Murali Manohara Sai Murare.
Murali Manohara Sai Murare.
The first word here is Murali, referring to the flute that Lord Krishna placed on his lips, and out came beautiful heavenly music. But why was the flute singularly fortunate to be picked up by the Lord? Baba has clarified this on a number of occasions. The flute or the bansuri, Baba explains, is made of a single hollow shaft of bamboo which is straight and empty. It has no twists and turns. It is simple. It is easy to hold and beautiful to behold. That is how every individual aspiring to be an instrument of God should be. Baba says, they should be simple and hollow with absolutely no ego inside and completely straight with no crookedness outside. Then the Lord himself picks up such an individual and through him or her flows his music and message, his love and his glory. So that explains Murali. The second word is Manohara, meaning the one who enchants. Murali Manohara refers to the lovely Lord who captures the minds and hearts of everyone with the lilting melodies of his divine flute. Let us understand another meaning of this word Manohara. According to ancient Indian culture and spirituality, this word refers to the enchanting female form of dancer Mohini that Lord Vishnu once assumed. On one occasion, the demigods or the devas and the demons or the asuras got into a fight which led them to churning the ocean of milk to acquire the nectar that would bestow immortality. At one point, it seemed as though the asuras or the demons would win, but just then Lord Vishnu appeared as the beautiful Mohini and began dancing. This made the demons forget themselves and also eventually the nectar. Lord Vishnu then took the opportunity and distributed the nectar to the devas or the gods. Baba explains that the form of Mohini here represents Maya or illusion. The demons were deceived by the form of Mohini and so they lost the elixir of immortality. The world is full of attractions and more so in the current times. That too is God's creation, yes. But that can delude us if we are not aware, if we are not alert. Therefore, it is up to us to hold on to him firmly. Only when we do so, we can experience permanent peace, permanent happiness in our lives. So that is the inner significance behind this word Manohara. Moving on, the third word is Shama, which is a word that describes Lord Krishna as the one with a complexion as dark as the rain-bearing clouds. The word Shama is one of the many names of Lord Krishna, and as I said, it means the dark blue complexion Lord. Now, why is the Lord described as blue in color? Explaining this, Bhagwan Baba once said that the Lord is the greatest mystery and the color blue is a symbol of the depth of that enigma. The sea and the sky are blue because of their vast depth and innumerable mysteries. They represent infinity. They are fathomless. Same it is with the Lord. Lord Krishna was not born with blue-colored skin. Baba says he is described as Shama, he is described as blue because he is as endless and as enigmatic as the sky and as the ocean. Before late Mr. Victor Kanu had the first darshan of Baba in 1981, Swami appeared in his dream and he looked blue in color. Mr. Kanu was puzzled and thought probably Baba was not well. When he asked Baba in person in Whitefield as to what was the significance of that darshan, Baba said, "Ah, blue, blue is mysterious. That is the significance of adoring the Lord as Shama, as Ghanashyama, as Neela Megha Shama, and so on." The fourth word is Murare, which we are already familiar with. Hence in this line, Murali Manohara Shama Murare, we call out to the Lord who plays on the flute his ethereal music and thereby enchants all of us. He is the one who pulls the veil of Maya or illusion over us. He is the infinite one, the eternal protector and the destroyer of ignorance. With that, dear listeners, we are done with understanding the meaning of all the lines in this bhajan. With this deeper understanding, let us now listen to the full version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir by the students of Bhagwan's University. And as you listen and enjoy this, please do sing along.
नंद के दुलारे यशोदा के प्यारे नंद के दुलारे यशोदा के प्यारे
And now In the last part of this program, it's time for the conversation with Mr. Srinivasulu, who has been a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group for more than 2.5 decades. He joined the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning in 1986 for his bachelor's in physics, and later on did his master's in physics, and has been singing in Mandir since then. Gifted with a beautiful voice, he has had many moments of divine interaction and has lived in Prashanti Nilayam all these years since 1986. So here is the conversation with Mr. Srinivasulu. Welcome, Brother Srinivasulu, to this program.
Thank you, Bishop. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. Now, you have been fortunate to sing in the divine presence for nearly 25 years, and I have seen how Swami used to love your voice. And in those days, especially in the 80s and 90s, you had the chance to sing both in the mornings and in the evening. The students used to not come in the mornings, and that continues even today. And you had the chance to sing for him for both the sessions. And perhaps the only other person who sang along with you was the other legendary devotee, Mr. Mohan Rao.
Yes, Mohan Rao, sir.
Mohan Rao, sir. Yes. Perhaps not many know about Mohan Rao, sir. And interestingly, he used to sing this bhajan, Nandake Dulare, which we have for this bhajan tutor session.
Okay.
So, as we are doing this bhajan tutor recording, I just thought about Mr. Mohan Rao, and then I thought I should call you because he was such a great devotee of the Lord.
Yeah, he was a wonderful singer and a
wonderful
great
singer.
Devotee,
yes.
Really.
And Swami loved him so much.
Really.
And
really.
You had the chance to sing along with him.
I could see that in their interactions, like Swami used to regularly speak to him.
Yes. So you have a witness to those interactions that Mohan Rao sir had with Swami. So please tell us about bhajan singing and about being devoted to the Lord that you saw in the personality of Mohan Rao sir and the intimacy that existed between Bhagwan and this legendary devotee and singer.
Yeah, as you said, by Bhagwan's grace, I had the privilege of singing alongside Mohan Rao sir during morning bhajans for nearly a decade.
Wonderful.
It was during the 90s. In those days, there were no mics for morning bhajans. And as you know, students don't come to Mandir in the mornings except on holidays.
Yes.
So therefore, there was no one to play harmonium and tabla.
No one to play harmonium and tabla?
No one. I used to play kanjira and Mohan Rao sir used to just keep Shruti.
So just Shruti and kanjira?
Yeah.
My God. I can't imagine morning bhajans. No harmonium, no tabla.
No mics.
But Bhagwan was there.
Yeah, Bhagwan was there, yeah.
Fantastic.
He used to just keep one Shruti on the harmonium and we used to sing all bhajans in the same Shruti.
Same Shruti.
Normally, bhajan boys decide on the song first and then think about the appropriate Shruti.
Yes.
But in the case of morning bhajans those days, it was the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Mohan Rao sir would fix the Shruti first and then we would decide on the bhajans accordingly.
So Shruti was fixed?
Fixed, yeah. Because he never felt comfortable changing the Shrutis in the middle
and
of bhajans.
And he was a harmonium player, so yeah. it makes it simple.
For him.
Yes.
So, Sino, you know, yen Shruti lo paadadam, what Shruti shall we choose for bhajans today? He used to ask me invariably after the morning Nagar Sankirtan every day.
He used to go for Nagar Sankirtan.
Yes. And that was the time he used to fix the Shruti for that morning bhajan.
So, Nagar Sankirtan time, Shruti is fixed.
Shruti is fixed.
Fantastic. So, you have time to think about the bhajans.
Bhajans, yeah. And during the course of our conversations, he narrated some of his personal experiences with Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
It seems he was a devotee of Shirdi Sai,
mm-hmm.
Bhagwan's previous incarnation.
Yeah.
Every year, he would make a pilgrimage to Shirdi and every time he was permitted to sing some bhajans at the Samadhi
Shirdi
of Shirdi
Samadhi.
Sai. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Those days. And it was during one such trips to Shirdi, maybe during the early 60s, that he heard about Bhagwan and came to Parthi directly from Shirdi.
Mm-hmm.
When he reached Mandir, I think it was afternoon time, and Bhagwan was upstairs. He was standing in the veranda and was talking to a few devotees who had gathered in front of the Mandir. When Bhagwan noticed Mohan Rao sir coming inside the Mandir compound, Swami called him near and asked, Shirdi nundi vastunnava nayana? Manchidi, chala santosham.
Are you coming from Shirdi?
Shirdi, yeah, that's what Swami.
Manchidi, very good.
Very good.
Swami immediately recognized.
As soon as he entered the Mandir, Swami called him near, you are coming from Shirdi. He told him. And that was his first experience of Bhagwan's omniscience. Next morning, it seems Swami called him for an interview, told him everything about his personal life and the problems he was facing, and he assured him that Swami would take care of everything. Without even his asking, Bhagwan himself told him to sing in Mandir bhajans whenever he would come to Parthi.
blanket permission.
Yes, yes.
Fantastic.
In those days, Mohan Rao sir was employed with the Indian Railways, mm-hmm. and he was residing in Chennai. And he used to come regularly to Parthi, and definitely for all festivals.
So this is in 19...
It was in 60s and 70s.
60s yeah. and 70s.
In 1982, he came and settled here permanently.
So, but you are singing in front of Bhagwan since 60s?
Yes, 60s, 60s.
Wonderful.
He used to come regularly, and for all festivals, he was definitely here.
So he was singing along with Raja Reddy, sir?
Yeah, he was singing with Raja Reddy, sir, and there used to be one great singer on ladies' side.
Vijayamma.
Yeah. She was also
so
there.
They, and in those days, bhajan sessions used to be long.
Long,
used to,
yeah, yeah.
Used to hear.
And in Shivratri, Akhand Bhajan was entirely managed by Mohan Rao sir on gent side and Vijayamma on the lady side since.
Full 24 hours?
Full 24 hours. Because Raja Reddy sir would go inside once Swami.
So he's the only person to lead?
To lead.
And organize the
organize, yes. Full Akhand Bhajan. Shivratri.
Definitely when Swami was physically present, he would be singing.
Yes, yes. And like at the end of the interview, he was more than 100% convinced that Bhagwan was Sakshat Parabrahman.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he told me.
After that first interview?
After the first interview with Bhagwan.
So once he was convinced, he started coming?
Coming regularly. Yeah, he continued like this. After maybe 5 or 6 years, one day he was doing Padaseva to Bhagwan in Swami's room.
Mm-hmm.
And casually he just mentioned to him, Swami, every day we conduct bhajans in our house at Chennai and many people attend. He just told Swami. Immediately Swami said, Telusu Telusu Bangaru, nee bhajans nen vintunnanu.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I am enjoying your bhajans.
Swami said that I am enjoying your bhajans. Happening in Chennai.
Happening in Chennai.
Wow.
And like by then he had developed some intimacy with Bhagwan. He said, Swami, how am I to believe you hear our bhajans every day unless you give me a proof? He wanted a proof. Though he knew Swami's divinity and all that, he just wanted...
But he thought Swami, maybe Swami is casually saying.
Yeah, casually saying like that. So he just wanted some... A proof.
Mm.
And Swami said, oh, you want a proof? Okay, I'll give you one.
Mm-hmm.
Swami said, do you remember last month, one day it was raining heavily and just before the commencement of bhajan in your house, a stranger came on a cycle and gave you a garland for my photo. Do you remember? It was none other than me. This is what Swami told.
Beautiful.
This was a great revelation for Mohan Rao sir, because it seems he had arranged a flower vendor to regularly bring a garland for Bhagwan's photo before bhajan every day.
Mm-hmm.
One day, as there was a heavy downpour, he was disappointed, thinking that flower vendor would not be able to come and Bhagwan's photo would be without a garland that day.
Mm.
He was just thinking like this.
Feeling sad.
Yeah. But just a few minutes before the bhajan, in that heavy downpour, someone came on a cycle and gave him a garland and went away immediately.
Without taking the money?
Without taking the money, nothing.
Without any conversation?
Without any conversation. Mohan Rao sir thought that garland was sent by the usual flower vendor in spite of the heavy rain and he forgot about the whole incident. He just took it very casually. But when Swami revealed that it was none other than Bhagwan who brought the garland that day, Mohan Rao sir prostrated before Bhagwan, shedding tears of joy and gratitude.
The way Swami made him know that he is the one listening to him wherever he is singing.
Exactly, exactly.
Wonderful. So you had the chance to sing along with such a great devotee of the Lord for so many years, and I know sir used to sing many bhajans which are not sung often these days.
Yes, yes.
And you have
and he
learned.
He taught me many bhajans.
He taught you many bhajans.
Yes,
why
yes.
don't you sing some of them for us? Bhajans which are not so frequently
yeah,
sung.
Yeah, these days boys have started singing, but not regularly. Like, Nanda Kishora Jaya Gopal Navanita Chora Shyama Gopal मीरा के नाथ प्रभु गिरिधर गोपाल रास विलोला राधे गोपाल रास विलोला राधे गोपाल. This is what I learned from him.
So this is his composition?
Yeah, his composition.
And I think if I'm not wrong, many of his compositions were short. The short yes. bhajans and Namavali bhajans.
Namavali bhajans, exactly. Exactly.
Beautiful. Can you recollect one more of his bhajan?
Yeah, one more Rama bhajan is there. Jayato jayato Rama Janani Janaki Rama Janana marana bhaya Klesha vinashaka Raghupati Sita Rama Rama Rameti Rama.
Wonderful.
This also I learned from him. And this is also his own composition. And there are many bhajans which he composed.
And Swami loved these bhajans.
Swami used to love, really.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, sir, for coming over to the studios and sharing these precious experiences of Mr. Mohan Rao. He was a treasure trove of such bhajans, and you had the chance to learn so many from him. And I hope you sing these bhajans more frequently in the mandir so that we get familiar with these beautiful compositions of sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Vishu.
And
thank you for the opportunity.
And I hope you will, next time when you are here for this program, you would share about your moments, your beautiful moments with Bhagwan, which spans for more than 2 decades.
Certainly, I'll try. Yeah? Thank you. Thank you, Vishu.
Sai Ram. So that was Srinivasulu, a very senior member of the Prashanti Bhajan Group, currently serving in the publication division of Sri Sathya Sai Sadhana Trust, an excellent editor. He oversees the publication of the Ashram Monthly magazine, Sanatana Sarathi. So with this, we've come to the end of this present episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did in offering it to you. This is our humble dedication at his lotus feet. The sound engineer for this program is Yatharta, and we are grateful to another alumnus, T.S. Ramakrishna, for composing the background score for this program. Dear listeners, please do tell us what you feel about this program. If you have any valuable suggestions or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. listener@radiosai.org.
Sai Ram, you are listening to an episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This was first aired on January 31st, 2013 as a live program on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony as part of our Thursday live programs. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.